Hi, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Ask a Lawyer, a production of the Institute for Native Arts and Media. This half hour is sponsored by Oklahoma Indian Legal Services, serving Indian country in Oklahoma for over 40 years. My guest with me today is Case Rodwell, one of the attorneys at OILS. How are you, Case?
I'm doing good. How are you, Kelly?
I'm great. I'm so glad to talk to OILS attorneys. Now, one of the things that I did ask Stephanie is if I could ask the OILS attorneys questions outside of their OILS duties. So these aren't questions for OILS per se. These are questions for you as an attorney. So okay. I wanted to make sure that we make that clear. So our listeners and podcast subscribers who are used to us talking about the wonderful services that OILS provides, this doesn't have anything to do with that. This is strictly asking our lawyers questions as attorneys. So thank you so much for being the first one to be in the hot seat.
Hey, throw it at me. I'm ready.
Okay. So I know that you're a citizen of the Cherokee Nation. And yesterday through my news feed, I saw where it said Cherokee Nation candidate got arrested for lewd acts. And so of course I'm all over that. And the guy, when he got arrested, had his own campaign shirt on. So here is the story per Fox 23. Former Muskogee mayoral candidate John Lowermore was arrested Thursday on several lewd acts complaints. The Muskogee County Sheriff's Office posted pictures of his arrest outside the Quick Trip near US 69 and West Shawnee Bypass just before 4 p.m. He will be held on complaints of lewd proposals and lewd acts on a minor. Lowermore was a mayoral candidate in the 2020 election. He had also previously ran for city council. He was wearing one of his campaign shirts for the Cherokee National Tribal Council on his chest. And that's all that says. So it's still developing because it just happened yesterday. And now the attorneys got a hold of them and said, you know, zip it. So that's what we know just in the beginning stages of this. And the comment section of this story, there are citizens from all different communities saying, I'm glad they finally caught this guy. This guy's been, you know, here at X, Y, and Z. And so as an attorney and as a Cherokee Nation citizen, how do you feel about this?
Well, I mean, my initial reaction is it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting because, yeah, I'm an attorney. I'm mostly an ICWA attorney. So I'm working with families. I'm working with children. I'm a guardian ad litem attorney for children in our tribal courts. And here we are having a political figure on charges that are just, you know, attacking and assaulting our children. I don't like it. I do not like it at all. And like I said, I have very big feelings. So outside of course, what OILS does, my own personal feelings is, I know the lawyer side of me. I hate the disclaimer that everybody wants to say, well, it's just charges. It's not a conviction. We, you know, the innocent until proven guilty. Yeah, okay, I get it. As a lawyer, yeah, there's that disclaimer. Yeah, he has not been found guilty of it. However, having charges like that doesn't come out of nowhere. We're not just arresting people on really heinous acts, of course, of like indecent acts to minor children. That is a serious allegation. And that's not something I take lightly. Anytime I hear anything in any of my cases about potential child sex abuse, sexual assault to minor children, indecent acts, that's not something I personally take lightly. I don't, because I know how prevalent domestic violence is and sexual violence is to women and children in our communities. It is rampant. I think the statistics say like 1 in 3 women and children are assaulted in Indian country at some point in their lives, sexually assaulted. And I'll be perfectly honest and frank with you, I'm one of those. I was sexually assaulted when I was a child. So it's disturbing and disgusting to think this person was running for political office. And the fact that the comments are rolling in saying that they're happy he finally got caught absolutely leads me to believe that there's evidence out there. I mean, because again, we're not getting just arrest warrants put out there of like, yeah, we have an assumption, but we don't know, so we better just go arrest this guy and charge him. No, there's actual evidence that is brought to a judge that shows there's probable cause here that this person committed a crime. Again, they're not sentenced and saying he's found guilty. But there's still enough evidence here that leads us to believe that he committed these acts. And so now we need to hold a trial to find out if it's true or not. So there's still at least enough evidence here for me to believe there's something going on. And so I just find it absolutely, like I said, disgusting. And it's time for us in Indian country to start standing up against it instead of covering up for friends and families. It's not enough to be like, well, this is a good person and this. No, like we need to be talking about it. We need to be talking about what's happening, you know, at home, what's happening to our children, what's going on at schools. Because, you know, far too much, you know, I'm tired of people covering up for perpetrators. I'm tired of it. Not to bring up different situations because we're talking about this one news line, but there's some very big Native artists that we have found out according last year that also come out as was assaulting children and different.
In his own house.
In his own house.
Bunky Echohawk. Like, yeah, I'll say it. Yes. I'll say Thank it. You. Absolutely. Yeah. His father is the president of my tribe. And yeah. So I'll absolutely say whatever I want. And yeah. I'll name that because on my side of that, we have to put that name
yeah.
to these acts. And oh, but a wonderful artist. But that is a fantastic example of how this works in Indian country, mm-hmm. especially in Indian country. And you know, you bring up a really interesting point with the evidence and the probable cause. I mean, it seems to me, looking at how biased all of these institutions are against women, especially against Native women and Native children, that benefit of the doubt always seems to lie with the perpetrator. It always mm-hmm. is with the groomer. It's always with the, you know, white passing looking male that is this pillar of the community because he knows how to bring money into the city council or whatever.
Mm-hmm. No, that's absolutely true. If they're big name, we're like, well, let's think about this for a minute. Like, no, it's not. Because if we continue to ignore it, it's still going to happen to our children. We're telling our victims that their voice doesn't matter. That this guy that, you know, is a great artist, he's done such good work. I was like, that means more than the voice that's saying he's hurting me. I just find it absolutely disgusting. And I, like I said, I'm happy you brought that up about we have to start naming who these people are because we can't keep covering it up. At some point we have to realize that this is a problem in our communities and we have to talk about it. Why do you think we have such high missing and murdered Indigenous women and children? This is why. Trying political office, are you kidding me? And like I said, at this point, there was a time in politics, of course, nobody's going to be happy. Everyone's going to be bumping heads. But there was a point in politics where a story like this would have been like, you know, political ruin. They can't run for office anymore because how dare they? Like they're assaulting children. They're a sexual predator. This isn't okay. But then we have people like Donald Trump that's out here bragging about assaulting women, bragging about molesting women. And people rallied around it. They thought that was great, fantastic. Like, oh, it's so hilarious. It's not. It's not funny for our women to be assaulted. It's not funny that our women in our communities are being murdered and not investigated and their perpetrators not being prosecuted for it. It's not funny. These are our children that are being taken at bus stops. It's not okay anymore. And so I don't know where we had that shift in politics of saying, okay, well, they have crimes going on, so it's fine. I don't understand that. I really don't. I don't understand Stitt's son getting away from being drunk and having guns in his car and everybody just, you know, forgot about it, basically. Like, it's fine. He can be drunk and say, I'm the governor's son, and nobody talked about it. Nobody talked about him not being charged. It's
that happened.
What we allow our politicians to get away with.
That happened 2 days before the election, by the way. In this very close election, in this very, very close election that happened 2 days before this election. Mm-hmm. And had that story broken, we would have a different governor right now.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely the dirty, that's the dirty side of the politics that's involved in all of this cover up. Mm-hmm. And it's, oh, well, he was just drunk with guns. I tell you what, if the Oklahoma Highway Patrol pulled me over drunk with guns,
I wouldn't make
I'd
it
call, I'd be calling some lawyers. You know, I mean, they'd have me face down on the side of H.E. Bailey Turnpike with everybody from Troop F to Troop B with their guns drawn on me.
You know, we said that, I had that discussion with my spouse yesterday, because we watched the, what are the big high speed chase in Oklahoma City yesterday, where the guy would just strolled on from one vehicle to the next, and a cop never did anything, like sat there with his gun, watching him do it all. And I was like, you know, if that person would have been brown, they'd have never made it out of that situation. The minute he opened his door, gone. But this guy gets to peruse around and shop for another car to steal so he can keep running. And I was like, that is ridiculous. And I'm going to have to point that out with this particular politician. Sorry, I'm going to go ahead and do it. He's not identifiably Native. And I feel like that has a huge, huge impact on things. Because had he been brown, they'd have been throwing in all kinds of ways. You know, they just started throwing in McGirt. Because of McGirt, exactly.
We can't do anything because of McGirt.
Exactly. The state's hands are tied. We can't do anything. Another child molester out on the street. You know, the same bull that they put in the media anyway. But they didn't do that for this guy, though, did they? Instead, he got to happily be arrested, and it's fine, and everything made it out. And honestly, I don't really see it that much in media. Thankfully, I got the news notification locally, because it's right here. You know, I'm here in Tahlequah, in the heart of Cherokee Nation, so I got the notification. But I haven't really seen it really big in news. And I'm like, why? Why? Because if he'd have been brown, it would have been in the news. If he'd have been brown, it'd have been McGirt, and then the state can't do anything about it because it's McGirt. You know, but he is a Cherokee Nation citizen, and so McGirt would still apply. But I don't see that being brought in the headlines really big. And I absolutely believe there's a difference in being identifiably Native on certain crimes and not. And I think that worked to his advantage, because here he is wearing the shirt saying, hey, I'm Cherokee Nation, I'm running for political office, and nobody better than I about it. Nobody. So I don't know. The fact that I don't know who he is, because I'm Cherokee Nation citizen. I come from my community. My family's from the Stillwell area. I was raised in Tahlequah. I don't recognize this guy. I don't recognize his name. I don't see him in our communities doing anything. I don't see him in our groups of cultural events. I don't see him at any of our grounds. I don't know who this guy is. So I absolutely believe it's just kind of a political agenda. I want to run for office. I want a pretty paycheck. I want to sit here on tribal council. I don't know.
Another way to hide my crimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because, and we're seeing this in the current House of Representatives right now, a guy who lied about his entire background, who lied about his education, who lied about who he is. Brazil is the Brazilian government is looking at him for fraud, but yet he is protected. Why? Because he's an elected official.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at our tribes, and those are sovereign nations. And that brings a whole different, especially under McGirt, it does bring a different element to this. And one of the things with this Loudermore case that's really striking to me is, since he's obviously been operating a while.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Quick Trip. Like, I know where that Quick Trip is. That's a busy Quick Trip.
Yeah.
Like, that's not like a out of the way, like, you know, we're going to do this on the slide. I mean, that dude, lewd acts with a minor. And we do know that prostitution is rampant at a lot of truck stops. It always has been. It just is. So is he out there taking advantage of these young sex workers? Is he just out there flashing his pee-pee for everybody to, like, what are you doing? And why Quick Trip? Why are you going to go to one of the busiest places with your name on your shirt, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one of the things that is huge in Oklahoma that needs to be well known, if it already isn't, is human trafficking. All the signs that you see, like call here if you're looking for a job, and it's just a plain sign, different things, it's human trafficking. It is huge and it's rampant, and it's a lot of young girls that get stuck in this loop and can't get out. And it could be their perpetrators that are keeping them in the system. And you're correct, at, you know, truck stops. I know there's some huge stops in Oklahoma City that, in my line of work as lawyering, everyone's like, you don't go there. It is unsafe. Girls get taken. Girls, you know, and we think about that. Was it at the Thunder game? There was like a 15-year-old girl that got took at the game, and was taken for a few weeks before they found her, and she was human trafficked. Like, it's not just, you know, these really, you know, rugged corners of Oklahoma that is happening at. That was a major place that was highly populated, and she was took. We talk about prostitution, and some of the women are like old enough that think like, yeah, I wanted to be in this and I wanted to do it. And maybe they did, but for the most part, is they're not. They're stuck in this. It's these perpetrators that are keeping them because they're making more money off of these women. And so, yeah, I agree with you. A highly populated gas station truck stop like that. And it's like, it's just, it disgusts me to my core to think you were part of the system of what could potentially be human trafficking. Here you are running for office from my political office here, from my tribal council to represent communities like mine, like I said, it just makes me sick, absolutely sick to think about that. Because for us Cherokees, you know, we're a matriarchal society. It is our women that we look to. It's our women that are leading. It's our women that are running our household and running our families. And for you to be taking advantage of that, that shows you don't have the Cherokee values that I want to see sitting in office. You don't understand how important, how sacred our children are. Like, these are our generations that are carrying our language and our traditions. And here you are committing these crimes. Because I've seen what it does. I've seen in that line of work, again, like I'm in child welfare a lot, and I've worked with children that have suffered through child sex abuse. And it's not something that you just get over. It's not something you just go through counseling and you're fine. You're dealing with that trauma your entire life. I'm still dealing with my trauma that happened years, decades ago. I'm still dealing with that. So it's not just this quick thing that happened, right? Not like the college student whose dad in California that was like, it was only 20 minutes of action. Disgusting.
Brock Lerner.
Exactly. I couldn't think of his name, but him.
Or Brock Turner.
Brock Turner. Yeah. It's not 20 minutes of action. This is you changing the way your brain is now affected, the trauma that women are going through, the trauma the children are feeling going through this, because you are an adult. You are supposed to be here protecting this child, regardless if it's your child or not. We are all needing to be looking out for each other. So it disgusts me that this guy who's running for political office, who's claiming to be Cherokee, claiming to be a tribe that's my own, out here assaulting children, is unacceptable. In the very least, unacceptable, and absolutely, like, just makes me sick to my stomach as somebody that has survived sexual assault myself. I can't stand it. Like I said, I can't say enough about it, because it just upsets me. And the fact that they're Cherokee, the fact that they're anybody, didn't even have to be Native at all, the fact that you are assaulting children in our society is unacceptable and absolutely should be thrown out of the running for tribal council. But again, I don't run my tribe. I don't know what the election commission is doing, but at this point, that is enough that he shouldn't even be on the ballot, because it scares me in our political climate that people are just ignoring it. Again, like, people are just like, it's fine, and sweeping it under the rug, or they're taking up for these perpetrators by saying they're just charges. It's not a conviction. We don't know. Innocent to proven guilty.
Or the victim is lying.
Yes.
That's a child. You don't believe a child. A child will say anything.
Oh, they're coached.
You can't rely on what a child says, kind of thing, you know? And then it's like, wait a minute. And then you turn around and these perpetrators are going and giving classes to your daycare centers or your preschool or your high schools or whatever. And we're handing them victims to further victimize when we're placing them in these elected positions. Mm-hmm. And giving them the key to say, okay, I mean, and you've been, I mean, as a tribal member, we've all seen it. We all see how our tribal leaders, when they walk through the complexes, it's like the second coming. Everybody straightens up. Everybody's all nice. Everybody's, answering the phone. Hey, how are you? You know, knowing they don't answer the phone like that. Nobody ever works like that.
Yeah.
Unless the leadership is right in front of them. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But when that happens and these leaders bring them into the fold and protect them, what, as an attorney, especially as an attorney that protects women and children, how do we as communities begin to start speaking out about that and take away that safety from these perpetrators that they take away from us as survivors?
That's a hard question to answer because it is a problem. It is a huge problem because I absolutely understand. I'm not even an employee of my tribe and I see the effects of that. When I have conversations with people that are employed with my tribe and even those that are employed with other tribes, they have to be careful of what they say because they could lose their job. And they have to be careful about who they support on council or the current administration because they could lose their job. And that's not okay, because what if we do have serious accusations like that? How are they going to speak up to those in power? Because they could lose their job. And these people that are, you know, doing their job, they're you know, paying their bills. They have families themselves to take care of. So are we now not going to have kind of whistleblower laws here where we're like, oh, if you speak up against council, if you speak up against these political officials, you know, you could lose your job. So that's one important thing that I work for oil. So I can say what I want to say about my tribe.
Absolutely.
Is it really annoying? Cause there are people on council right now that I don't see eye to eye with. And it's not because, you know, I'm not accusing anybody of committing crimes, but those that aren't in line with protecting women, especially with the current Supreme Court rulings that came down last year that talked about the rights, reproductive rights of women, that are really strong fold and like cheering on the fact that this ruling happened. And is really using, of course, the Bible to talk about how this is so great and this is fantastic. And again, I'm a Cherokee woman. I come from my community. I know who I am and what we stand for. And for you to cheer on the fact that women are losing rights is not in line with who we are as Cherokee people. So you already are disconnected with your community. You're disconnected with the fact that I'm thinking of a certain counselor right now where I'm like, you have a wife, you have like four daughters, and you're cheering on the fact that women are losing rights. I fear for your own family to see that happening, because I would have been probably in shock if I'd have seen my dad as a child. Like if I was a child, my dad was cheering on like, yeah, women are losing rights. Woohoo. Women aren't getting same rights as men do, because go talk to their doctors and not be prosecuted for anything. You know, I'd have been in shock. You know, I was luckily and fortunate to grow up in a home that did have those values. Even if we didn't come out and say, this is who we are, Cherokee people, we always had our matriarch. We always had our, you know, my granny leading the family, you know, everything centered around, you know, dinners around my granny and what was going on there. And so it was definitely headstrong like that for women in my household. So thankfully I didn't have to grow up with that, but I fear for that. I fear a lot of things. So if you're not representing who we are as people and being so disconnected. And again, I am a little bit different. I know that we have a lot of elderly people that believe in the Bible and go to church regularly. And I'm absolutely, you know, in support of anyone for their religious freedoms. But I'm more in the traditional form of that, of like, I don't go sit down in a church. I don't sit down and preach the Bible on a regular basis. So you using your political agenda to tell me that it's right to take away women's rights for abortion or healthcare or birth control or anything else, I don't want to hear it. Because I'm like, at your point, you have a right to religious freedom so long as it don't infringe upon anybody else's rights. And you using your Bible to take away rights of other women that might not be of the same religion as you, you're infringing upon our rights. So I have different views on that. I know I'm bringing up other things, but I'm just saying how I hold my tribal council and who I elect absolutely to me should reflect Cherokee views and Cherokee values of who we are traditionally, not this new age. Just trying to do it for the advantage, trying to do it for the paycheck, trying to do it for the endorsements, trying to get their buddies into office, because we do have some political figures in running because they want to make a difference. And I'm sure everybody at one point started because they wanted to make a difference. But where are we losing our way in that? Like, still remember who you are. I still remember who I was. I did not, you know, I grew up broke, you know, and that's just who I am. I still think about all our tribal members that are doing that. So why are we getting people to actually be a voice in that? Again, I've never heard of the guy that got arrested yesterday. I've never seen him in our communities. I've never seen him at anything. I've never seen him at the Cherokee National Holiday. I've never seen him at our traditional games. I've never seen him at other tribal council meetings either. So who is this guy that all of a sudden is Cherokee? You know, I could be wrong. Somebody could tell me, hey, he's been there since the beginning. I could be wrong. But to me, I think he's just a card carrying that wants to take advantage of the fact that, hey, an election's coming up. I happen to have a Cherokee Nation card in my wallet, so I'm going to run. But you're doing these things that are harming our communities. You're doing these things that are harming our women and children, because though they are children now, that you think that, you know, these are our most vulnerable population that you're taking advantage of. And I'm tired of people covering up for them. I'm tired of that. This is a time because, you know, like I said, they're children now, but they're going to still be, you know, traumatized adults soon. And we need to be working on our communities. We don't want a generation of people that think this is okay. The adults that are supposed to be supervising and taking care of us are the ones hurting us or ignoring it and covering it up. That's not who we are. We need to be calling out these people. We need to be making sure that our children are safe, because it's not one in three are gonna experience sexual assault. That's not okay. And how are we ignoring that statistic? What are we doing to actually fix it? Because right now in the media, we talk about missing and murdered Indigenous women, but what are we doing to change that? What are we doing to actually make sure that violence against our women and our children are being prosecuted? What are we doing here? What are we going to do with Mr. So-and-so from yesterday? Are we actually going to make sure he's going to be prosecuted for what he did? Because again, I know he's innocent till proven guilty, but there's at least enough evidence there to show that a crime was committed. And there's enough probable cause to show that he should be arrested and set for trial for the crimes committed. Like I said, as a lawyer, I get it. There's that disclaimer that charges doesn't mean conviction. But at some point here, especially in the comments that said, finally, something is getting done, leads me to believe that there is more here. And I know enough prosecutors to know that it was, what did you say the charges was? It was like indecent acts or lewd acts.
Lewd acts against a minor.
So sometimes, unfortunately, I know prosecutors' hands are tied and like, well, the evidence just shows this. I know that the victim is saying it was more than that. I've had prosecutor friends that tell me the victim is telling me they were raped. Victims telling me it was repeatedly happening, telling me they were being assaulted regularly. But I only have evidence to show lewd acts. So I also want people to know that though there's prosecution like lewd acts, there could be more there. I'm not trying to make the assumption that there's always more there, but just know sometimes prosecutors' hands are tied. Because again, I have friends that are. I even worked in DEA's office in the, you know, the Federal Office for Prosecution, working on cases. And sometimes they have to work with what evidence is given to them by the police, given to them by, you know, ICW, DHS, whatever, whoever's involved. And so they have to work with the evidence given. So there may have been more here. We just don't know. So I have big feelings on this either way. I know that he's not convicted. But in my heart, personally, outside of being a lawyer, that's enough for me to not want this guy in office not want this guy connected to our tribe and how it's ran. I can't say enough. I'm like, I'm disgusted.
Well, and we certainly that's an overall issue with your prosecutor friends having their hands tied is we know. I mean, and we don't know, right? But we can pretty much speculate that there are at least a handful of predators in any legislature anywhere.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like I'm not wrong for saying that. No, and I'm not talking about just male predators. I'm just talking about predators.
Yep.
Okay. And when those predators have those leadership positions, they can make the rules to make themselves safe. And, you know, to your point about the politician who's cheering on women losing their rights, his wife and his daughters probably won't ever lose their rights because of his elected status, mm-hmm. because of all of that. So it doesn't matter that he's taking everybody else's rights away, because if one of his daughters, suffered a misfortune like many of us do in college, in a bar, whatever. If got pregnant by her attacker, she would have means to go and get an abortion. Uh-huh. She would have means for therapy. She would have means, even if she went off the rails and her PTSD made her start committing crimes. She uh-huh. would still have support for all of that.
Yep. Absolutely. What is it? Is it the Florida House of Rep guy that we all know? That
Matt Gaetz.
That's it.
He was trafficking underage girls for sex across state lines. And he's everybody re-elected.
Knows it. Yeah, everyone knows that he did it. They're making memes of him. How is this a joke to anyone? How is it okay that somebody was a predator to minor children and still gets reelected? That's what I'm saying. It worries me with our political climate. There was a time where this would be enough for everyone to be like, this is disgusting. Like, you're not
political suicide.
Yeah.
like you are out, dude. Like, we can't even say your name. We're going to scrub your name from everything that you've ever done, even the good stuff. And Matt Gaetz, I mean, that dude's so callous. When he was sending payments through Venmo for his sex workers, he put ass in the memo. Like, that's, and that dude is wreaking havoc in the House of Representatives right now.
I was gonna say, today is.
Yeah. Second.
So it worries me. It worries me about the people that's reelecting him. Same way with Stitt on a lesser thing. Like I said, again, I know Stitt so far hasn't come down with any charges of any lewd acts or anything, but here everybody knew that he was coming after these little small rural schools, and that's mostly Oklahoma. Everyone knows that he's been dividing, you know, everyone in the state of Oklahoma. He has actively, affirmatively attacked tribes on a regular basis, spent millions of Oklahoma dollars fighting us, filing frivolous lawsuits of tribes, and still got voted in. Like, I worry about us politically, the people that are voting us in. Like, yeah, I'm annoyed that Trump got in. I'm annoyed about Matt Gaetz. I'm annoyed about all these people, but I'm also annoyed at how are we as a society still voting these people in? How are we seeing sexual assault and turning a blind eye to it? That's the same behavior that has gotten us to this point of a lot of victims not being believed. Because I see it in the comments section of everyone, anybody that's come out against like Antonio Brown of the NFL, the amount of men and women that are protecting him and saying, well, we don't know. People are just coming after him because he has money. We don't know. You know, it's innocent until proven guilty. Of course, women are going to say this about them. I'm like, no. No, it's not. Same thing with Bill Cosby, where everybody was like, oh, but he's so nice. He's America's father. Like, I'm so sick of everybody believing because there's some way in public that they're not the monster that they are behind closed doors, or because they have money and they're an NFL player, then that must mean women are just coming out with these frivolous lies about them so they can get a paycheck as well. No, at what point are we gonna start believing women? And it took how many people to come out against Bill Cosby before people started believing it? There was like 25 women that finally had to be like, enough is enough, before people started listening. How many of our women and our children are gonna suffer and die at the hands of our perpetrators before you do something and act? I'm sick of it. I worry as a society though, I worry for my own kids that these are the people that are still voting these people into office. These are the people that are still think it's funny and can make memes about my case dating minor children. It's gross. It's gross.
And where we are here in Oklahoma speaks volumes, especially since our sitting governor claims to be a citizen of the Cherokee Nation. Oh my well. God.
So
boo that man.
At a minimum, boo that man. He's a $5 person, let me tell you.
Well, Case Rodwell, I sure do appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and to share your opinions about this. And thanks so much to Oils for allowing us to kind of open up about attorneys and what you guys think as lawyers, because even though y'all work for a great organization like Oils, you're still attorneys, and there are still cases outside of Oils that we want to talk about and that we need an attorney's perspective. So I greatly appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. You'll be back around in the hot seat very soon. I just got to make sure I got to get Brian in here too.
Thank you so much.
And thanks so much to our listeners and podcast subscribers for tuning in to this segment of Ask a Lawyer. It's a production of the Institute for Native Arts and Media, and this half hour is sponsored by Oklahoma Indian Legal Services, serving Indian country in Oklahoma for over 40 years. Don't forget, you can catch any of our past conversations wherever you get your podcast. Thanks so much. We'll catch you back next time. Have a great day.